Let's go, Jacob. What do you got?
McFarland.
Oh, see? Oh, that was see? Great. Yeah, that was one of the better ones. Excellent job.
That
Gordo.
Was maybe the best producer McFarland of all time.
All time. Great way to start the
Grizzled
show.
Grizzled voice. Like, it was
that's
good.
That's Jacob, the producer. Hey, okay, what do you got, Gordo?
McFarland.
So, like, that's a guy who was ready to ease on into the show. I didn't realize I was interrupting you so much in your takes last week, but...
What are you talking about?
That's what Shime and Mega said, like, every time I was so fired up last week. That basically I was interrupting every time you tried to give a take last week.
Huh. We were all pretty fired up.
Well,
last week,
listen,
for good reason.
you got two sentences ready to get it out. Then I'm going to jump on in. I am Rob Bradford. That's Gordo of the Playtesty Podcast. This is the Baseballs and Boring Show. We're going to be with you till the pregame show. And then guess what? Bonus: I get to do the pregame show today, leading to the Red Sox. Yes, the Red Sox are playing the great game of baseball, and they have played the great game of baseball. There is a lot to talk about. Last week we had a momentous show. We had a show where we get a chance to rant and rail about Rafael Devers. Last week, I think the vibes were low. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Vibes were low. Oh, that's right.
They
couldn't score. They couldn't score a run.
Until after the show.
Then they scored like 15. We inspired them, and then they couldn't score again. Now they're scoring again. But a week ago, we're like, how is this ever going to work? But then what sort of dwarfed it all a week ago, of course, is, like I said, in the crossover, Tom Hanks identify my book as the book of the summer.
Unbelievable.
We may be doing the next 2 hours on that.
Unbelievable.
It's still unbelievable. And since then, an update in the last week, we're summering together in the Hamptons. All right. So anyway, Gordo, we have a ton to get to because that's what we do, the great game of baseball. And by the way, speaking of the great game of baseball, it's a great time to get excited about baseball here. The Savannah Bananas are over at Fenway Park. I drove past them just to see the scene. They absolutely, whatever park they are in, they take over. They take over parking lots. They take over streets. It's a whole scene. Their merch, it's incredible. It's a whole scene that is going over there. And I don't know how to explain it other than saying it's just a scene.
You got to see it to believe it. We went last year. I'm going to be there tonight.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Okay.
We got tickets again. We won the lottery thing. Hey, there we go.
Oh, there you go.
It's going to be a party. It always is with the Bananas.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, I'm not going to spoil it for anybody about what, you know, the good and the bad and the things that the unpredictable and the awesome and the out of the ordinary. Just go. I mean, just go. Yeah. Have a good time.
It's something you got to do at least.
Ultimately, and we've had Zach Frangillo on a few different times, who is the head of the creative director for the Savannah Bananas, does an incredible job. And we had him on in spring training. And really, one of the things when we were in the broadcast booth, and when we were talking to him, they were warming up for the show down in Fort Myers, and they were taking infield. There was nobody in the crowd. They were taking infield like a team would, and every single ground ball that they took, they had to do something with it. Another behind the back, through the legs, whatever it was, and it was really, really incredible. So anyway, it's just a great day in this city right now to talk about the great game of baseball. And by the way, at BB isn't boring, baseball isn't boring, a social account, Playtesty, at Playtesty, excellent job. I did hear your rant about, or not your rant, your reflection on when I found out about the Tom Hanks news. That was good.
Oh, that was,
that
I
was
mean,
good. I'm going to resurface that.
it truly was remarkable because... What was it? You retweeted a tweet of someone tweeting a picture of the book at you. You didn't even click into the picture.
And then you see what happened? And then, yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is, yeah, I've got your notifications on. So I click into it and I see that it's like someone check a pulse on Bradford. What's this about? And then we notice in the top corner.
There
Tom,
it is.
Tom Hanks.
And it hasn't gone anywhere. Still right there.
I've checked a few times. I'm like, he's not deleting.
He's not deleting, and also hasn't put another IG post. Maybe it lasts all summer. Anyway, a damn near perfect game book of the summer.
It's true. Let him never post on Instagram.
Never post
ever again.
He has only three. He only follows three people.
Does he really?
Yeah. But okay.
And you're not one of
9.4 million followers only follows three. That's a pretty good ratio. That's something we should all strive for. Speaking of striving for things, well, a week later, we're sitting here, and the weird thing about doing this show is that we have to react sort of the day before, and we have to sort of predict what's coming. And last week, as we said, really, we were like, this is never going to work. It's never going to work. They can't score runs. We don't see how possibly they could score runs. And then they score a bunch of runs, and then they don't. Sunday's game was a dud. And then they you know, Chase Burns, whether you think he's tipping pitches or not, they
doesn't
score
matter.
More. It doesn't matter, right? So
the thing is, though, Rob, even though Sunday was they scored three runs.
They left guys at third.
But yeah, exactly. It was kind of the version of the not scoring that we
yeah,
saw earlier this year.
And I don't want to relitigate. I don't want to go through play by play for the last week. I'm not saying that you did anything wrong, but I don't want to go through the play by play. I want to talk about exactly where we're at with this team because, you know, it's important. We do our best to say this is going to happen. And one of the things, Gordo, that drives me nuts having to wait for this show is the stupid takes leading up to it.
What
like
do you mean?
Just the stupid takes. Like
from
people
who?
Are just latching on to things, and I'm not even going to identify anything in specifically. But you know, it's just like can we just like have conversations about intelligent conversations about baseball?
What
like,
are these takes? I'm confused.
No, it's just across the board. It's not everybody.
But no, but like what are the takes?
No,
about?
it's just taking like little bit of soundbite and saying, you know, they should do this or they should do that. And then like I have like friends and family who are like, oh, they listen to it like, oh, you know what? Roman Anthony should really play first. Like what are we doing? Like what are we like it's just what I'm saying is that I'm being highfalutin. I'm being a snob. I don't care. We do this show once a week. This my job to live and die through this every single day. We do the podcast every single day, whether it's players and people from outside the organization or whether it's inside the organization, whether it's the pulse of baseball, whether it's front office, whether it's players, whatever it is, you're around. There's nobody on social media who follows this stuff more than you. I only have two people in my notifications. Only two. It's you and Ken Rosenthal. That's it. The two. That's it.
Look at this like relationship we got going where we've got each other's notifications.
Well,
on.
Why would you want to? I mean, it's one stop shopping. So
yeah.
Anyway, my point is that we get to this point of the week and like through all of you follow it more than anybody, probably more than any writer. To be perfectly honest with you, I have to follow it because that's my job and that's the life that I live. So now that we're dropped into the show, let's talk about this. Talk about this, about the reality of the Boston Red Sox. And the reality of the Boston Red Sox right now is ... I have no idea. I mean, but I do what I want to do. What I want, one of the things that drives me nuts and has driven me nuts, you ask, like, what drives me nuts, is this trade deadline stuff, right? Is that everybody has to have this definitive, like, they're lying about the trade deadline or they're not lying about the trade deadline. Here is the takeaway. Whether it's Sam Kennedy come on the Greg Hill show or whether it's Sam Kennedy going on Nesson, whether it's Craig Breslow going on Nesson, whether it's Craig Breslow talking to me last week, whatever it is, here is the reality. You have to wait, and if you're within a couple games of the wild card, you're a buyer. That's a fact. And when they say we are motivated to whatever, we think we're going to be a buyer, like Sam saying we think we're going to be a buyer or we're going to be a buyer, whatever declaration he has, here is the code for that, Gordo. The code is that you still don't know and you can't say you know. You
right.
can't. You can't even say you know until after the All-Star game, to be perfectly honest with you, as long as you can stay in it, which I said this before, Gordo, you weren't. There was a case to be made for making a trade after the Devers trade because you were risking following out of it. They've been managing to tread water just enough, so they're in it still. But here is the code for what Sam is saying and what Breslow is saying. The Red Sox have never been more motivated to become buyers at the trade deadline, more so than any year in recent memory.
At least since the Dombrowski era. Yeah, this is the one time.
Well, it's different, though.
It's no, I agree. It's
right, it's different because that one was in 2018. Like,
we were in a different place.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And like obviously,
it wasn't, there was no room for interpretation, right?
No, but this is the first year where the team didn't necessarily. Like, it's like the team needs to prove that they can't be invested in for them to not buy. The team needs to fall out of it for them to not buy. Whereas in previous years, it was like they really need to show us that they are worthy of investment for us to break the plan that we've
set.
But
why,
set and
Gordo? Why am I saying this? Why am I saying that? Yeah, sure. Like, yes, 18, fine. You know that you're going to be a buyer because you're that good. 19, no, you're in the middle. Forget about
Andrew
20.
Andrew Cashner, come on. Come on,
yeah.
Rob, put some respect.
21, all right, you actually buy a couple days early. And, like, that was pretty much you knew you were going to be a buyer. There wasn't any room for interpretation. But still, you waited a little bit. If you talked to that team in early July, maybe there was some doubt. You couldn't definitively say, we're absolutely going to be the buyer. They probably said that, but you didn't know that. 22,
but that's the key right there.
22, 23, 24, all caught in the middle. All living this life that you're kind of living right now.
Yeah.
And but the reason why they are more motivated now than any of those other years is because of one simple fact. Because of the Rafael Devers trade.
Oh, really? You think that? Yeah, I have two reasons that are not
okay,
that.
Okay. So, all right. I'll let you talk in a second. You're welcome.
Thank you.
But the Rafael Devers trade, if you are, you tell me if I'm full of hooey, you tell me if I'm wrong, that's fine. But if you get to the trade deadline and you are a seller, then sorry, the timing, you messed up the Rafael Devers trade.
Oh, yeah.
Because sure. for no other reason, the timing of it. Because as we know, they were on the 5-game winning streak. And they're feeling good about them. They took a chance. They made the deal when they did. They fell off a cliff that's not, like, sugar-coated. What, they went 4-8 on the next 12 games. They fell off a cliff. They couldn't score runs. And I know Devers wasn't hitting, and I know the Giants weren't winning. But still, the timing of it, there is no room for interpretation. Probably you could have waited a little bit longer and you would have won some more games. And when I say won some more games, if you win two or three more games, you know how
you're
many
a wild bet? Card.
They're a wild card right now, right? So if you get to that spot and you are not a buyer and you are a seller, then I'm sorry, like that it has not gone the way you had. You had not had led you to what Craig Breslow said in that press conference, which I think we're gonna win more games than we would have before. He's not saying that I think we're going to win more games in September than we would have without him. No, he's saying that I think we are going to win more games when it counts the most doing it this way. So that is why I come back to it. When they get up there, they are ultra motivated, not motivated evidently to make a trade, but ultra motivated to be buyers at the trade deadline, more so certainly than the last 3 years. Go.
All right, I'll give you two other reasons because I agree with your reasoning there. You're right because they're going to take a ton of heat if they miss the playoffs by, or let's say they're 3.5, 4.5. Nah, let's say they're 5.5 out at the deadline. People are going to point right at that Rafael Devers trade. So you're right there. But I'll give you two other reasons. First, the previous 3 or 4 off seasons, they went 20% in. They dipped their toe in the water. They didn't
chips to the middle of the table this year.
Exactly. It's different this year. They sign Alex Bregman, pay him $40 million a year. They trade for Garrett Crochet. They trade big pieces of their future for Garrett Crochet. They sign Chapman. They sign Buehler. They spend the money. They trade the prospects. They declared that this year was going to be the year that they're in. And then also you got the kids up. You're not waiting for anything more. The kids are here. Roman Anthony is here. Marcelo Meyer is here. Whenever whenever they want to bring him back, he is ready to go. Like, these guys are ready to go. They're here. You're not waiting for, like, 2027 when guy X, Y, and Z get up here. No, like this, like, yes, they're going to develop and they're going to turn into different versions of themselves, yes, but the names and the faces that you see on the field, like, this is the product.
Yeah, and I think another big part of this is if they can get to Bregman, right? It's getting to Bregman, it's getting to the All-Star break, it's getting to the trade deadline in a spot where you say, this is what we have. And I think that's a big part of this. They have to know what they have. And Breslow said this. Is that one of the reasons that he made the Devers trade, and he said this, teams identified this. Teams knew that we had, quote, paraphrasing him, that we had a mismatched roster. We had a roster that didn't make sense, a roster that didn't fit. So now you get to, certainly after the All-Star break, which, by the way, is after next weekend, and you get to there, then you have to identify, this is what we are. We have Bregman at third. We have Meyer at second. We have Story at short. We have probably a combination of Abraham Toro and Romy Gonzalez at first. Unless we make a deal there, we have Roman Anthony as a 2 or 3 hitter in the lineup.
Rob, what you're saying here is that you want them to have specific roles left and right.
You have to know what you are. You have to know what you are with Tanner Houck. You have to know what you are with Hunter Dobbins. You have to know what you are with Brian Baio. You have to know if Giolito's
going to
say
even the good ones.
Right.
Baio and
you have to know what you have in the bullpen. You have to know if Jordan Hicks is actually like going to be elating an option.
Yeah.
You have to know if Justin Slayton's coming back. You have to know all of this. And the first step of that is Bregman coming back. That is a big thing. So my point is that, yeah, okay, You are almost there, but you cannot take a step back. You cannot lose to the Nationals and Rockies because
there's
you know
no
what?
Room for it.
Not only that, not only because you can't afford it. You're not in a position standing wise to do it. But also, Gordo, you know what's coming up after the All-Star break?
Oh, it's bad.
It's a gauntlet, man.
It's bad. A lot of good teams.
It is,
a lot of road
games.
It is
undeniably the toughest schedule to end July of any team in Major League Baseball. It is the Cubs. It is the Phillies. It is the Dodgers, right?
Yeah, and then even after that, yeah, you get the Twins, but then you got the Astros, the Royals, the Padres, the Astros to start August.
Yeah.
Like, that's not easy.
So, all right, well, there's a lot to get to. 617-779-7937. I see everybody lined up. We're going to get to it in a second. I also, because this is the 4th of July, the 5th of July, whatever.
Happy July 5th.
Fireworks, yay. Yay for fireworks.
Yay fireworks.
But I am very realistic about how people are consuming this show. We talk about it's a great time to talk about and consume baseball in the city of Boston with the Savannah Bananas going on, with the Red Sox playing like meaningful games and everything else. So I am very realistic about how they're consuming the show, and it is at all parts unknown. Beaches, forests, skyscrapers.
They're just consuming it in the
walking,
forest.
Walking, whatever. I don't know. But what I want people to do, and I'll put this out on social media, at Bradfo and at BB Isn't Boring, I will give you a sticker,
Ooh,
baseball's a boring
multiple.
Sticker, if you tweet at us wherever you are listening, all right? At Bradfo or at BB Isn't Boring. If you are listening, show you that you're listening to this great show, and then we'll connect and I'll send you some stickers. Because who doesn't like stickers?
No, everyone loves
stickers. By the way, it is, you know how I talk about baseball isn't boring being a scientifically proven thing for good luck and good fortune?
Yeah.
It is getting scary, man. It is absolutely getting scary.
What now?
Because I did an interview with Ross Atkins in Toronto. And since I did that interview, their record is insane. I gave Trevor Story some baseball isn't boring stickers. And since I did that, I can tell you exactly where I did it. It was on the Yankee Stadium field. Go look at his numbers since then.
I had his numbers today since I think like July 4th or 7th or June 4th or 7th.
I mean, I think that's when they were playing at Yankee. I think that's when he got the stickers. James Wood does an interview, hits a 451-foot home run. All right, all of this. And that's another thing I want to talk about, which I wrote about. Roman Anthony v. James Wood. Is he the next James Wood?
It feels like those two are going to be connected.
I got some numbers. I got some numbers. I got some facts and figures. All right.
You holding on to those?
After the break.
After the break?
After the calls.
After the
break. 617-779-7937. All right. First, Jacob's trending. Let's go. Jacob's looking at me. What am I going to say, Jacob?
Which player uses this as their walk-up song?
No. I'm going to say this is an Ace of Spades. But it's not bad. It's not bad, my friend. Pretty good. Pretty good.
There you go.
I was listening to a podcast today with Lars Ulrich. Yeah, drummer for Metallica.
Oh.
Yeah. I just wanted to brag on that.
What did they talk about?
I'm good friends with Tom Hanks, and I listen to a podcast with the drummer for Metallica.
You are boys with Tom Hanks. When's he calling in?
No, we're saving that for the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, Joe Kelly's hosting. Nice. All right. But you know what we do have on the show? Jeff in Watertown, as always. Jeff. Let's go. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Hey, Bradfo. Hey, Gordo, how you doing?
What's up, Jeff?
To me, today's the most important game of the year for me.
Ooh, fork in the road Sunday. Saturday.
Yeah, Walker Buehler has been a rally killer. I'm finally getting pulled back into this team, you know, first time since April. I'm starting to believe, Marcel Neyer, I finally see what people have been saying that I didn't necessarily see. Roman Anthony is coming into – I mean, they're ready to pull me in. But if they have another one of those where Walker Buehler goes two innings and gives up four runs and somebody gets picked off at second or tries to steal third for some inexplicable reason, and it's just all back to where we were before. So I'm not ready, to go all in. But if they can – if they can show that they can keep the momentum, like you said, they got to win these games. They got to win the Rockies. They got to put up a good fight against Tampa Bay, force people to worry about them and force, Breslow to make a move. Otherwise, to me, today's game is what counts at this point.
I got a co-sign on that, Jeff. I got a co-sign on this being a big game. So, and also,
and I'm also
go ahead, Jeff.
No, I was just going to say, I'm more worried about Toronto than I ever was about the Yankees.
Ooh, they're in first place.
Yeah, and I've never been afraid of the Yankees. We've always played, we've played them well. Even when we stunk, we played them well. But Toronto just has a way of just killing us. And I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No. It's perfectly fine. I think that really today is important because I think primarily, Jeff, because of Bueller, because of what you're talking about. Yeah. And also, we can't diminish how important these games leading up to the All-Star break is. Remember last year, in case people forget, it's when the Netflix jumped ship after the All-Star break, and they go to the Dodgers, and they're feeling good about themselves. I think they were like 11 games over 500, right?
They had just beaten the Royals.
Something like that.
They took the series from the Royals, then they went to Colorado.
They went to the Dodgers in Colorado, and what they didn't do, this was a huge mistake, I think, by Breslow, which was you knew that you were down Chris Martin and Justin Slayton. You knew that you probably didn't know that Zach Kelly, your other guy that you were going to be having late inning guys with running on fumes, didn't work out. And you also knew that Kenley Jansen was not pitching in Colorado. So you knew all of that. And in those games, all of that, especially in the Dodgers, they lost two games that if they had Martin and Slayton, they would have won.
Mm-hmm.
And that sent them down the wrong road, if you remember that.
And the Kenley Jansen thing is inexcusable. It sounded like maybe we won't have him. They knew they weren't going to have him.
Yeah,
that was inexcusable.
And I think Jeff, that's another example of, yeah, you understand that you get to the deadline. You understand that it's uncomfortable to make trades too early. But in that case, much like we were talking about after the Devers trade, in that case, you have to get uncomfortable because you know the timing of that deal is so important to that team. They did not recognize that, and they should have recognized
that. And teams were making deals for relievers at that time. Like during, I think it was right before the third game of that Royals series, the Royals traded for Hunter Harvey from the Nationals.
Mm.
Like relievers were getting traded, and the Red Sox didn't make any of those trades at that time, and you saw what happened.
Can I make one other quick point?
Absolutely.
Isn't it funny that the two guys who said I'm stopped listening to all the voices were Trevor Story and Giolito, and since they stopped listening to all the voices, they look like the players they used to be.
You mean the coaching voices?
Well, yeah, all the voices in from the front office and everybody talking. And like I'm going to stop listening to everybody. I'm just going to go out and play my game. And since they've said that, they're playing their game.
I think it's like anything, Jeff, and thanks for the call. I think it's like anything. I think the truth lies somewhere in the middle. Because, we talked to Giolito, and he talked about how they broke down his skeleton, the whole skeleton thing. His skeleton, it wasn't doing what the skeleton did before. That's when he takes off. I mean, it's fine. He's playing the video games. Yeah, Story said what he said.
So did Bueller, though.
But, what I would like to do in it is really, we started the Driveline conversation, but it was an educated conversation. Now it's just low-hanging fruit for people who are only half paying attention. Like, I'm not saying all Driveline is bad, but all I'm saying is that what we should understand is that, well, the players, they have to take what works for them, and they can't get caught up in it. Xander Bogaerts told me, I think I said this last week, Xander went to Driveline before last year, and it was terrible to begin the year. And then halfway through the year, he switched it up. He's like, it's not for me. And so it's not for everybody. And I don't know if that's the case with Story, but I think that's what Jeff was talking about a little bit.
Well, the truth is baseball, it's a game for people of all shapes, sizes, different athletic abilities.
Hold on, let me write that down.
Well, it's the truth. And so not one method is going to work for every single guy. Like, you have to tailor a program that works for you, and it's up to you to figure out what that is.
All right, Bob in Warwick. What's going on, Bob?
Okay, Bradford, I want to ask you a question.
Yes,
are you
sir.
A Sam Kennedy clone?
No, I am not. And I look nothing like Sam Kennedy.
You get paid by the Red Sox?
Why? I do not get paid by Odyssey. What's up?
You got to come with something more than that,
Bob. Let's go.
Oh, really?
Elaborate.
Talk other shows besides your show.
Elaborate.
You know,
it's ELABORATE.
Yeah, the morning show. I talk at night to other baseball shows. This is the first time I've called you, and I've been sick of your BS for years.
Okay. Please. ELABORTE.
What are you sick of?
I know how to spell jerk.
JERK.
The Toronto Blue Jays they're much better than the Red Sox, and so are the Yankees. You're going to have a long rest of the year because I hate the Red Sox, and I'm happy. Bye.
Bye. See you.
That was a call.
That was an interesting call.
I hate the Red Sox. Bye.
Bye. He called me. Did he want me to spell jerk, or was he calling me a jerk?
He was calling you a jerk.
Oh, I thought he wanted me to spell jerk.
No, but it's good that you told
him
how to spell jerk.
Do you think he really knew what elaborate meant? I don't think
50-50
so.
50-50 shot.
Yeah, 50-50. Wally in Fall River. He knows what elaborate means. Hey, Wally, what's going on?
Yeah, what's up, Brathro? I mean, I don't know what that guy meant, but I love my Red Sox. I love them from 61. But as far as Breslin, he's going to stop planning things now. We always forget the other teams are going to make moves now. If they're close in the wild card and even to the division spot, they're going to have to do something. I mean, I like to see him get Matt Olson. I don't want to see him get, you know, a platoon of first base. You need a good regular first baseman. You get Bregman back, you get another power hitter. The same way with Sandy Alcantara. I don't know how much it would cost to get him, but they got to make moves. They got to play good now. They can't play in the fog. You can't afford to keep bouncing back and forth, two games under, one game under, one game over. They got to add some consistency to their play. You know baseball. There'll be a lot of trades made probably at the deadline because a lot of teams in American League are in the hunt for the wild card. So if I was Breslin, I'd be talking to some teams right now.
All right, Wally, thank you for the call. Gordo, give me the position right now that you want the Boston Red Sox to add first and foremost, and the player if you want.
Well, he said it. Matt Olson. Matt Olson's
Matt
my
Olson.
Guy. It doesn't. Like
who says no? What are you giving up for Matt Olson?
Oh, I got crushed for my who says no.
Yeah, I was stupid.
I don't think it was that bad.
Okay. It's your prerogative to be wrong.
It's $100 million changing hands, Rob. It's a
okay.
lot of money.
All right.
Owners don't like to spend money. I don't know if you know that.
Does Atlanta want to be good?
Yeah, they're interested in Jaren Duran.
Does Atlanta want to be good?
I think they'd like to be, but they're not.
What was your who said no?
I had the Braves trading. I had the Red Sox trading Jaren Duran and setting the Braves the remainder of Walker Buehler's deal and getting Matt Olson, Dylan Lee, the lefty reliever, and Cam Caminiti, their first-round pick from last year.
Okay. Again, your prerogative to be a little misguided. That's okay. I like it. I like Matt Olson. It's a good one.
I think a deal surrounding like regardless of what you think of
it would help
the total
if he,
deal.
Can he learn to hit right-handed?
Hey, they could. They don't. They're not. The lefty hitting situation is not what it once was.
Okay,
with Devers
I do
out
want
lineup,
to talk about Roman Anthony. You know what? I'm in a giving mood. Okay, Steve from Fall River, you're on triple secret probation,
wow.
Steve. Okay, what do you got?
I'm sorry. I'm on probation. You said something about the Red Sox knowing everything by the trade deadline, and I don't think they're going to know everything, Rob. I'm going to make some projections. I think Jaren Duran will come back to somewhat more like the player he was last year than the player he's been so far. I think Roman Anthony will be firmly implanted in the major leagues by a month now versus feeling his way out. I don't think Trevor Story will remain as sizzling hot as he is, but he's certainly going to be better than he was in the first 2 months of the season. I'm assuming he's going to have a healthy year, and he's way better in the field than I thought. And Walker Buehler, you can replace him. You've got Tanner Houck coming back. I have a lot of hope for Richard Fitz at the beginning of the year. I thought he'd win 12 games. I might have been a little out of my mind. The guy's got electric stuff. And you got this Dobson. You have people coming in that you may not get your full picture of, but you got to realize that. You've already talked about Bregman. Why can't Bregman go to second and leave Meyer at third, which is a possibility, whatever happens there. And I don't hear anything about this Yoshida coming back. I don't want to trade Jaren Duran. They're going to have a hell of a good second half. And this is what they've set the last 3 years for, Rob. I know the Devers thing came out of the blue. but they wanted to get all these guys up and get them in place. And this is like the second inning of this whole rebuild to get it all up to the major leagues from what they built for in these last 3 years.
Steve, so far this is a very good call, and I'm going to offer you the opportunity to punctuate it in fine fashion. You tell me, with all that said, if they are going to have a good second half, then they are going to add something. You tell me what you think they should add.
I would think they would need either, if they can get a good starting pitcher, because these other guys are still a big question mark, or somebody stand out in the bullpen, it's fine. I don't know anything about this guy Olson, but I'm very happy with what I'm seeing out of the play at first base. You can keep moving that around. The defense is there, and you play with the hot hand. So I'm going to go for just pitching. I don't think you need anything from a bat. You're getting the bats back. Bregman's coming back. I want to project Rafi Devers. Disaster. This is going to be one of the greatest trades in Red Sox.
Ooh, wow.
Because this guy is done. They got him out, and they didn't want to get him out. But first of all, he's an overrated slugger. He's a third-tier power hitter. 265, 30 home runs, and 100 RBIs. That's called mediocre, and he's not going to have that. If anyone's been looking at his play so far, he batted 200 or something in his first month in San Francisco. They're going to be very sorry they took this guy, and we're going to be very happy we get rid of him.
All right, Steve, it's good to have you back, man. All right.
You want the Devers stats?
Thanks, Steve. I want the Devers numbers. And by the way, before you give the numbers, it is a multi-layered conversation. Okay, it's a multi-layered conversation.
Oh, yeah.
I know that's not gonna, you're not gonna put that on the bumper stickers. That's not gonna sell tickets, but it is a multi-layered conversation. Go ahead.
Devers, 17 games with the Giants, hitting .215, .676 OPS, 94 OPS plus, meaning he's 6% below average as a hitter since joining the Giants. He has 2 home runs.
He has
negative WAR.
And as I saw, I think Codified Baseball had this. The most strikeouts of any player since the trade happened in Major League Baseball.
His 26 strikeouts in those 17
I also
games.
Am curious. I can look this up if you don't have this. The Giants record. I know the Giants record is worse than a Red Sox record.
I can get it for you in one sec.
Yeah. So
it's not good.
But when I say it's a multi-layer conversation, because if Rafael Devers was playing for the Boston Red Sox during that stretch where they were having troubles, and during that stretch before they get Bregman back, they are winning a few more games. I'm not saying that you couldn't trade Rafi Devers, but as we said last week, as we had said all along, the timing of it is a little bit suspect. But with the Devers thing, we're always going to do this. We're going to continue to do this, and it is going to be interesting about Devers in that ballpark, Devers in that league, Devers in that time zone, all of that. Like, is that going to translate? One thing that, correct me if I'm wrong, Gordo, I haven't, since that first couple days, I haven't seen Rafael Devers pick up a first baseman mitt.
No, they said he's a little bit banged up. I forget what it is.
Yeah.
He's got something.
I know he came out, I think he came out of the game yesterday early. So, anyway, it's two different things. We can rant and rave, and we should rant and rave about how that made everybody mad about the timing of it. Did you have to be the timing of it? So forth and so on. But also, the fun that it's going to be about seeing what Rafi Devers is going to be, particularly for the Giants. I mean, even if he's bad right now, Gordo, I don't blame Buster Posey, because here's the thing about that team.
Yeah, no. I don't blame
them. It's impossible. We've seen it. It's almost impossible for them to get really good free agent sluggers to go to the San Francisco Giants. It is a very difficult thing to do. So if you can get the guy like this planted in the middle of the order, and he will be planted in the middle of that order for years to come, then you do it. It's still a good trade for the Giants.
Oh, I don't blame them for a second. And also, I just read off the Devers stats. Come on, how many of us, we all watched the first, 5 to 7 games of this season in Boston for him. He's gone through these slumps before, and he breaks right out of them in a big way. He's going to be fine. I get the ballpark is not necessarily the best hitter's environment, especially for left-handed hitters, but
Rafael Devers. You know who hasn't slumped? You.
Oh, all right. That's nice of you.
Yeah, Rob. Gordo, Play Tessie Podcast. I'm Rob Bradford. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast and broadcast and radio show. Again,
not boring.
I put it on social media. You can retweet it if you want. I want people, because everyone's out and about, Someone has tweeted out that they're, let's see, let's get some samples. I want people to send us messages of you where you're listening to the show from. I love doing that because you know what? It's the miracles of Barnett technology. You can listen to the show all over the place, right? Correct? Am I wrong?
Yeah. I mean, the technology is
it's unbelievable,
it's crazy, right?
And if you do that, then I'm going to give you some stickers. It's like some our good friend Emerson Lazia. He sends a picture of him eating a hot dog. Like, what's better than listening to the show and eating a hot dog?
It's the American dream.
It screams baseball. It screams America. Right? Correct?
The only thing that would be more American is watching this straight in the middle of the forest or listening straight from the middle of the forest.
Let's see. The surfing guy, otherwise known as Pedroyer Enjoyer, at the coast, maxing and relaxing. I love that.
Yes.
Dewey HOF. He's at work. Looks like it's in a it's in a liquor store. That a boy. All right.
There we go.
All these things. I love this. All right, everybody. I hope everybody's having a great weekend. It's fantastic weather. It's a fantastic time to be alive. Fantastic time to be a baseball fan and fantastic time to listen to this show. We're going to continue 617-779-7937. Be back right after this. Are you saving Ace of Spades at the top of the hour?
Yes.
All right.
He's like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just checking. All right, I'm Rob Bradford along with Gordo, Clay Tessie, Jacob Behind the Glass. This is the Baseballs and Boring Show. We're off to a flying start. A lot of adrenaline. A lot of adrenaline coming out of the gate. Shot out of a cannon. Last week was easy, man, because you had the Devers. We hadn't talked about Devers since the Devers trade. So, and, you know, we're up in the broadcast booth, and, I mean, I almost swore. Stuff was flying all over the place. Stuff was flying all over the place. And then all of a sudden, Tom Hanks becomes a friend of the family. That added another layer of adrenaline. But this week, we haven't stopped. Like, here we go. Like, we get the All-Star break next week.
Yeah, it's...
After next weekend.
Yeah.
So you got Colorado. You got this series of Nationals. By the way, the highest press box, as if anyone cares, in all of baseball. It used to be a fantastic view of the Capitol. Then they put all these condos in front of it. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares about this, but this is why I cover the game from the hotel in center field one time. Because I'm like, if I'm this high up, why don't I just do it from the hotel roof? So I did it. Nesson caught me, and it was what a time to be alive. That was 2018. Yeah, July 4th. That weekend when Rick Porcello hit the double.
I was at the July 4th game that year, too. It was like 100 degrees.
Oh, in Washington?
Yeah.
Oh, were you in college?
I was in college. We lived in Maine that summer, but we drove to D.C. for the 4th, and it was like 100 degrees. We bought the cheapest tickets, and like with the Nationals, if you go down during BP, you can get to the good seats. But if you leave during the game and try to come back, they'll check your ticket.
How would you grade out that park?
It's okay. It's probably, it's probably towards the bottom of the parks that I've been to.
Isn't that depressing? Well, you have a lot of these new parks stink. Like,
well, they just don't have enough. You just need something to give it character.
You've been to Petco?
Yes, Petco's great.
Petco's unbelievable. I pointed this out. I went to Petco about a week and a half ago. Was it 2 weeks ago now? Is that you have an area in center field, which is this like grassy hill. Where you literally are a mile from the field, but it doesn't matter because it's such a scene and you have an enormous screen in front of you so you can still watch the game. So in other words, the worst seats are still better than most seats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Petco's got great food too.
The
garlic fries.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, it's a good vibe there too.
How many parks have you been to?
I think it's like 12 or 13. Okay. I've got some room. I need to get to some more. Like I need to go to PNC in Pittsburgh.
Great park.
What's the other? There's another really. I need to go to Colorado. Everyone
pretty good
raves
park.
About yep. Coors Field.
Yep.
I've
been to
Citi
Field.
Sox. I've been to Citi Field.
It's okay.
I like Yankee
you know,
Stadium more
the
than
best,
Citi Field.
The best crowd, undeniably, is Citizens Bank.
I was about to say
Philadelphia.
Phillies,
like I saw, someone on social media. I saw some people debating about this. The best sports fans. With all due respect to the city that we live in, it's Philadelphia. Because Philadelphia, like, if you go to a Phillies game, especially in the playoffs, there is no other crowd that tries to enact their will on what is happening on the field. And when things go, and conversely, when things go bad, there isn't sometimes here there's some apathy, honestly, because you get the sweet Caroline and the whole thing with, like,
don't get
there is
started.
No apathy in Philly. Like, there is, like, this anger.
But when we need to backtrack, what was it? Because I can't remember, but when they had, like, Odubel Herrera headlining that lineup and those teams were in last place,
I don't
for
know.
Years, like, there's no way those fans were angry at those teams. Like, it's impossible. Those
I feel
teams
like they were
terrible.
Angry. They were angry.
I'll give you my argument for Boston fans.
Okay.
Because I feel like with Philly fans and Yankee fans, they boo and jeer for the sake of booing and jeering. I think Boston fans, they're willing to boo, which a lot of fan bases are not, but it's appropriate timing. Like the Yankee fans, they were booing Giancarlo Stanton game one.
Okay.
Phillies fans
here's my counter to that, okay? The problem is that Fenway's awesome, right? We all know Fenway's awesome. The problem is that Fenway has become more the Fenway experience more than ever before.
But that's them. That's not the fans.
No.
No.
That has also become the fans.
In what way?
In the way of, like, they're doing the Fenway experience. They're waiting for Sweet Caroline. They're experiencing, like, it comes back to the Club Fenway thing. Remember, I mean, when back in 2021, when they were desperately trying to get people back in the ballpark, giving student nines all over the place and continued to do that, it was a different demographic. And so, which is great. You have people pouring beer all over their face and everything else.
Iconic environment.
But also, there was fewer people paying attention to the game. And that is just a fact. Like, it's a great scene. And when the Red Sox are going good, it's a great environment. I'm not saying, I would absolutely put them in the top five as sports fans, maybe the top three. All I'm saying is that, like, that when I have been to Philly games, it has been this every single moment, they're just basically either agonizing or celebrating. Like, that's my take on it, man.
No, I mean, I don't think you're wrong, but I think a lot of that is heightened by, because you went to Philly for playoff games, right? Like,
yeah, but I've been there other times.
It's during the playoffs. There is nothing. I mean,
well,
I put them on the
way,
same level.
Put it this way,
I feel like it's like that at Fenway in the playoffs. There, so we just haven't seen it.
No, there's Philly in the playoffs. That's not even up for debate. I went to New York, the Mets. That's pretty good. I went back to back Philly Mets. And Mets are crazy, too.
I
mean, Mets are desperate. What's up?
I was there when the Mets beat the Phillies off that grand slam.
The
yeah,
Lindor off.
Right? And
who's
Mets,
it off?
Great fans. Grimace, you know, Timmy Trumpets, whatever. You know, OMG. Like, it's a great crowd.
They had a good thing going last year. That was
they
fun.
They do. But I'm telling you, like, that there was nothing like. And one of my favorite things was going out to the way that the bullpen is for the visitors at Citizens Bank Park. It's basically like you put whoever's pitching in a cage and let all the everybody just jeer at them. It's like this little shoebox and people all around it. Remember Merrill Kelly? I think it was the playoffs. He said,
I've seen
better crowds, like maybe against Team Venezuela or whatever it is.
He did say that.
And I would, oh my goodness. It is vicious. It is vicious. And I would imagine there is an element of that, you know, when like Garrett Cole, whoever's warming up.
Exactly what I was going to come
sure,
back with.
Yeah.
I am not
crapping on Boston fans. Again, top three. But anyway.
Give these fans a team worth cheering for. And hey, maybe the second half of the year this team will be that.
Yeah.
Give these fans a team worth cheering for like you did in 21 when it's been a while since they've had that team. I'm telling you.
And you know, and another thing, indisputable, Friday nights are a different level, right?
And Mr. Brightside on a Friday night at Fenway when they're up by five runs.
Are you going to be all right? You're right?
It's so good. It's so much
breather?
Better than Sweet Caroline.
You had the same reaction I had when Tom Hanks put that thing on Instagram.
Well, it's just so much. I'm just so sick of Sweet Caroline. That's it.
Ooh.
I'm really
Jay, what do you say to that?
I haven't been here as long as you guys, so I'm not as sick of Sweet Caroline, but it is not very Sweet Caroline when they're losing. But I do have one thing to say about
means.
Phillies fans.
It means it sucks when you're losing.
Okay, I'll catch you.
Well, Phillies fans are too negative, and
there was a video
that released today of Nick Castellanos arguing
good,
with Philly fans.
Good.
Hey, but remember when they gave Trey Turner a standing ovation
right.
Night of the season?
They did a Netflix series on
it.
No,
they did.
That was a better Netflix series the Red Sox Netflix series.
Oh, it was so bad.
Oh, come on.
It was so, what it was like? It
did
was just
Barack Obama like produced.
Yeah, he did. What was that?
Listen.
The whole thing was about
the whole point
a
is that
in a trailer.
It's good. You should be upset. You should be upset over like when your team's bad. You should have back and forth. You know that's what we're talking about.
I think the difference between Philly fans being angry about, or yeah, I guess just being angry when they're losing a game during this awesome run that they've had of great teams, and Red Sox fans is, it's just been enough here. Right. Like it was like if the Red Sox were playing bad in 2019, it's anger because like, oh my God, like we've seen what this team can be. At this point, I mean, half a decade later, it's just enough is enough.
I mean, I will say this, is that the crowd, the best crowd that maybe I've ever been to, no matter what park it is, remains. And everybody who was there said the same thing. 2021, wild card game against the Yankees.
Iconic. I was there.
There's never been. It was the perfect storm of everything.
Better than the World Series, too.
Absolutely. Built in Game 7. Yankees fans, Redskins, the crowd was, I mean, people were jacked up. There was no blue bloods there.
And they'd been cooped inside for a year,
exactly.
too. It was the perfect storm of everything.
Yeah. So, I mean, are they going to be able to do it again? Are they going to live that life again, Gordo? Who knows?
Well, let's just put a team worth getting that hype
well,
up
that's
for
the,
on
that's
the
point. Is that it you have to get past this malaise that we talked about last week after the Devers trade, when you're running out of the lineup, you're like, how are they going to score runs? Now, a week later, we're like, okay, this might be able to work, maybe. And also, a big part of this is what I want to talk about after the break is Roman Anthony. Like, I find this fascinating. Like, the Roman Anthony, you don't want to put too much pressure on a 21-year-old kid, and we gave them crap for saying, like, oh, we don't want to put too much pressure on him,
then only
putting too much pressure on him. But it's become very, very interesting with him. I sat down with him this week. Some of the stuff he said was really interesting. And the guy that they hope he becomes by this time next year, they're playing against in the Washington Nationals. I also sat down with him. I think it's a great conversation. Whether or not you do, or I don't know, but I think it is Gordo.
What, James Wood and Roman Anthony?
Maybe yes.
Like comparing
those
guys.
Tease. I didn't wasn't going to mention him. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right. 617-779-7937. What a time to be alive. Baseball is a boring show. We'll talk to you in a few minutes.